If you've got a little one of the red Bibles, church Bibles, near your chair, you might want to open it up and follow with us. The Bible reading is from John chapter 20. It's on page 1089. John chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Dave, very much indeed. What do you see? What do you see? When you're looking, what do you see? Sometimes I think there can be more to the there can be more than meets the eye. Some of you might have seen some of these things before, but I enjoy them. What do you think? What do you see? What do you see there? What do you see? Shout out, what do you see? Two faces or a vase? Can you see a white vase or two black faces there? Okay, next one. What do you see? A duck? We've got a rabbit over here. Do you see? Can you see there's a duck looking left or a rabbit looking right? Can you see that? A duck looking left or a rabbit looking right. Okay, next one. Okay, what do you see? There's a young woman over there. Well, up there. Someone shouted a young woman. And there's an old one. So do you see there's a young woman looking to her right? Can you see that? Or there's an older woman with a black fringe kind of looking down and a little sad or grumpy, take your pick. Something like that. Can you see those? What do you see? Okay, last one. What do you see? A girl? Yeah, a girl with a shadow over her face. Or someone playing. So you could see a woman with a shadow over her face, or do you see a boy with a big nose playing the saxophone and a bird flying past? Oh, no, that way. Well, which way is it for you? I can't work it out. At Easter, we see all sorts of things, don't we? We see all sorts of things. We see Easter bunny. We see chocolate. We see flowers. Hi, don't worry at all. Come and sit down. And it all looks so colourful and beautiful. Oh, isn't Easter wonderful? And yet, of course, we also look around. And what do we see? Well, things aren't always so colourful. When people are mean to us, or when someone stamps on our football on our foot in the football match, and oh man, it hurts so much. It hurts when black when things are not darker. They're black. They're dark because people we love aren't with us anymore. Anyway, on Friday, we were talking about Jesus being killed on a cross. It was black again. It was dark. Imagine how devastated his friends and family they must have been. He'd done nothing wrong. He'd been crucified like a criminal. And more than that, they'd hoped that he was going to be the savior of the world. They thought that he was going to come and rescue them. And now they think he can't possibly be. So disappointing. So dark. And in our reading, we're in a graveyard. Oh, and graveyards, they're not happy places. Well, Easter doesn't have much going for it, does it? By the looks of things. Well, it all depends what you see. It all depends what you see. These are actually my glasses, so don't laugh too much. Because there's more to it than meets the eye. There's more to it than meets, and it turns out that when we look carefully, what we see in our passage, oh, it's so much better. It's so much better than even those colourful things, as great as they might be. The Easter bunny, chocolate, flowers, better than all those put together. So first, let's see what Mary Magdalene sees. It's early on the Sunday morning, and it's dark. Yet, as I said, it's not as dark, actually, as she feels on the inside. She's so devastated. She's devastated her friend had been killed. And yet, as she approaches, what does she see? What does she see? She sees something strange. The big stone, it's been moved. The entranceway into the tomb, it's open. Well, she runs back to the disciples and she tells them what she thinks she's seen. Her only explanation is that the people who had killed him have now stolen the body. And now they don't know where it is. And that's what some people in the world think today too. Must have been stolen. The body must have been stolen. I hope you feel energetic this morning, because there's more running in this passage. In fact, there's a race, because Peter and the disciple whose name we're not given here, just that Jesus loved him, they race to the tomb. And the disciple Jesus loved, he's the winner. And I love that little detail, because he's probably the guy that wrote this gospel. And so he had to get it down for all history that he was faster than his mate, Peter. And he bends down and he looks into the tomb. What does he see? Well, he doesn't see Jesus. He doesn't see Jesus. Jesus had been killed. His body had been put in the tomb, but it's not there now. All he can see is these strips of linen. These strips of linen that would have been wrapped around Jesus' body. But they're not anymore. They're just where the body would once have been, should have been, where they expected it to be. Isn't that strange? What a strange detail. What? How? And that's even strange. I mean, if they were stealing the body, that makes no sense. Why would the robber why would he unwrap him first and leave it there? That's just going to delay his getaway, isn't it? It might even make him a bit messy. What on earth is going on? It makes no sense. The body wasn't stolen. And then Peter walks into the tomb. And what does he see? Well, he sees these strips of linen. But also he sees here his face cloth, Jesus' face cloth, the cloth that would have been wrapped around his face. A better translation than in our version is that it was folded in a place on its own, by itself. Well, that's a very strange detail. Again, if you're a robber thieving a body, are you really going to fold up the cloth nicely? The reason why it's folded is that it's ready to give someone who actually needs it, who is dead. But the thing is, Jesus isn't dead anymore. He doesn't need it. He is alive. The tomb is empty of his body. And at that point, the disciple Jesus loves, he walks into the tomb with Peter. And I love what we're told happens next. We're told that he saw and believed. He saw and believed. Now, he didn't understand everything. He didn't understand everything. But he knew enough. He'd seen enough. He'd seen that the tomb was empty, and he believed that Jesus was alive. And actually, soon, he'd meet him in person. Now, we're used to empty things being quite bad. Think pack of sweets. Empty, bad. Think petrol tank. Empty, bad. Easter eggs, we think, empty, bad. Look how much air there is in there. How disappointing. No, not at all. An empty Easter egg is a very special thing. You might think you wanted that chocolate that they've just removed from there. They have. An empty Easter egg is the most special thing in the world because it points us to the even more special thing in the world, that is an empty tomb. An empty tomb that means that Jesus is alive. When you're opening your Easter eggs this year and it's hollow, rejoice. Because Jesus is better than chocolate, and what it points you to is that Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. But so what? Oh, we'll go back. Well, let's go a blank screen for a minute, please. Sorry. Don't want to give the game away. So what that Jesus is alive? Even the disciple who had seen and believed didn't understand everything. It says, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You see, it was just too soon. But we can know more. We can know more. The Bible lets us see more about what the resurrection really means for us and why we can celebrate today. So we need to look like Mary, Peter, and the other disciple did. We're looking now. Can anyone see any Easter eggs around the place? If you could see one, could you go and collect it and bring it up to me? Have a look. Have we got one over there? Just have a look. So we need, there are three. Okay, so we've got a, can anyone see any? Have I hit them real good? Oh, thank you so much. Wonderful job. Here we go. We've got one over there. I promise there's a third one. What do we? You got one. Oh, phew. What a relief. There we go. Okay, bring the third one over here as well. Thank you so much. Okay, here we go. Let's start with this first one. Let's start with the first one. Three things we're going to see. Three reallys. The first thing we see is Jesus really is God's King. Jesus really is God's King. I'm going to stick that up over here. Jesus really is God's King. If you were here on Good Friday, we saw that Pilate, he was asking whether Jesus was a king. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, it's from another place. He was saying his authority is not limited to a country or even a planet. It's from heaven. But when he was on that cross, it didn't look like he had much authority. He didn't look like much of a king, did he? It looked like he couldn't possibly be God's king because God's king would never be defeated. Well, because the tomb is empty, Jesus wasn't defeated. He's alive. God wouldn't let him stay dead. He raised victorious over evil. And now he's reigning on high. He is God's king, just as he said he was. Now, about 20 years ago, there was some guy called Karl Power. Now, he managed to dress up and pretend to be an England cricketer. That's him at Headingley playing for England. Well, not really. He did get found out in the end. He made it onto the pitch. And then he managed to get onto a Formula One podium. Here he is. Look, there he is. I won the race. And he was escorted off. He was pretending to be a driver. And he even managed to get into a Man United team photo. That's him. That's him with the red ring around him. But if he actually had to bat, imagine it. If he actually had to face a cricket ball. If he actually had to drive a Formula One car, if he actually had to play a little bit of football, he'd have been shown up pretty quickly, wouldn't he? He would have been exposed. Well, Jesus could have just said that he was God's king. But the empty tomb shows he really is God's king. He is no fraud, which means if Jesus is king of your life is safe in his hands. What's the second thing we see? The second thing we see is that our sin really is forgiven. Our sin really is forgiven. I'm going to pin this up over here. Our sin really is forgiven. Sin is our rejection of God. It shows itself in all the wrong things we do. It shows us in some of those wrong things we do, we're really proud of, though we shouldn't be. Some of those things we're deeply ashamed of. Either way, God hates it. And sin leads to darkness and death and hell because it's a rejection of the God of light and life and heaven. But Jesus said that he would die in our place as a sacrifice. We move from darkness, death, and hell to light and life and heaven. The question is, how do we know that it worked? Did it work? We know it worked because he came back to show us it worked. God raised him because Jesus didn't have any sin of his own, so he didn't have to die his own death, which means that when he did die, it was our death he was dying. Have you ever been to Costco? Have you ever been to Costco? It's a normal shop, you just buy bigger. You just buy bigger at Costco. But the strange thing about Costco is when you leave, they always check that you've paid. They always check that you've paid. Normally with a longer receipt than this one. How do they know that you've paid? You have to show them your receipt and they sign it. You have to show them your receipt. The empty grave is our receipt. The empty grave is our receipt. Proof that he paid for your sin when he died on the cross. Our sin really is forgiven. You may have done something that you think you could never be forgiven for. When we see Jesus' resurrection, we see that that can't possibly be true. He went through death for you. And now he shares his sinless life with you. And that takes us to our third thing. Third thing that we see in the empty tomb. Everything really will be okay. Everything really will be okay. That's what the empty tomb does. It assures us that everything will be okay. This is the first time that life didn't end in a grave. But it won't be the last time. Jesus took our sin and death, but he also gives us resurrection life. And this life doesn't end. It doesn't end in death. It doesn't end in death. It goes on into eternity. And this life won't always be marked with sin. So one day, evil, it will be a thing of the past. Unfairness, the unfairness that we hate at school, at home, whatever it is, unfairness, it could be a thing of the past. Tears, oh, gloriously, will be a thing of the past. They'll go in the bin forever. They'll be thrown away forever. Jesus' empty tomb, you see, it's a trailer, an advert for what's to come. In 2020, the late pastor Tim Keller was diagnosed with cancer. Soon afterwards, he said this: "If Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead, if he really got up, walked out, was seen by hundreds of people, talked to them, if he was raised from the dead, then you know what? Everything is going to be all right. Whatever you're worried about right now, whatever you're afraid of, everything is going to be okay. Because we're not just talking about a resurrected people, we're talking about a resurrected world that's cleansed from all evil and suffering. And then he talks, he was married, and he talks about his wife. Sometimes the reality of the shortness of what we have left here just overwhelms us, and we're just weeping together. And then you say, if Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, it's going to be okay. In the end, it's going to be okay. So what do you see when you look into the tomb? What do you see when you look into the tomb? It's empty. He's alive. Which means he really is God's king. Our sin really is forgiven. And everything really, really will be okay. And so let me ask you, like the disciple said, Do you believe? I think that the fact that we're not told his name in this, I wonder if it invites us to use our name. Will you put your name to what we were told about the disciple, that he saw and he believed? You won't know everything, that's fine. It will be a humbling thing to come back to him, because it means that he is king of your life rather than you. But if you believe that Jesus is risen and that he is God's king, whether if you acknowledge him as your king, maybe even for the first time this Easter, well, then you have every reason to celebrate. Every reason. Because Jesus is reigning. Your sin is forgiven and everything will be okay. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you on this Easter Sunday that your Son, our Lord, is a risen King. Thank you for what that means for us. Thank you that he is reigning, that our sin is forgiven, that everything will be okay. Thank you for hope, Father, in such an often hopeless world. Thank you for the colour that brings to our darkness. And I pray that each one of us here today, that we would know the blessing of knowing a risen Saviour who offers life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.